Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Ammon, and Ammon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiad. Abiad begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Achim, and Achim begot Eliad. Eliad begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Then looking in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias, and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly and has filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Verses 39 to 56, Luke chapter 1. Lord, thank you again for the powerful and the glorious and spirit-filled story of Christmas, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world, the things you did in the life of Jesus' mother Mary, his earthly dad Joseph. Thank you for the ways in which you worked in the family of John the Baptist. And through it all, you were glorified and your will was accomplished mightily. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you've called every one of us as your children to be involved in building the kingdom where you've called each one of us. Lord, set us on fire afresh with your Holy Spirit. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. Help us to be fully cooperative of your Holy Spirit as the wonderful characters in the Christmas story were. And help us to live a life where we're simply saying yes, Lord, to any and all you're calling us to do. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. And thank you for each person that's a part of our listening family. And Lord, in the midst of a dangerous and difficult world today, like it was in so many ways when Jesus was born, you're a God that can be trusted. We thank you and praise you again for all those that we've prayed for today and those that are part of our listening family. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, I just want to ask that you would open our hearts, our minds, our ears, that we'd fully listen to you right now. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you came to the world as Jesus. You came in the form of a man to bear our sins, to bear our transgressions. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I just pray that today we would grow in your kingdom, that we'd listen to your word and not just hear it, but that we'd walk in obedience to your voice, because your law is love. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As always, it's a privilege and an honor to have you listening in. We're blessed to have with us once again Pastor Kelly Payne. She's a kingdom servant that serves the Lord in quite a few different capacities, wearing quite a few different hats, but always good to have her with us. Pastor Kelly, how are you today?
Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you once again. And if you'll take time now, again, there are others who may recall when you were with us before, but others who may not have caught those broadcasts, would you take time to further introduce yourself to our listeners? And then we want to dive in and talk about some unique insights the Lord has given you about Matthew chapter 1.
Sure. So my name is Kelly Payne. I'm an ordained pastor, but I also work full-time in government. I work for the legislature and in Washington State, and I'm very blessed to work in ministry with the homeless and in pro-life efforts across the state of Washington.
All right. Well, again, grateful to have you back. And, you know, there's so many different sides to the journey the Lord has brought you on. And so we're always grateful to have you come and just share about your faith journey with the Lord. But today you were going to talk and share some interesting truths and insights that the Lord has given you about Matthew chapter 1, which is the first of the four chapters that make up what we refer to often as the Christmas narratives.
Yes, I love Matthew chapter 1. And I fell in love with Matthew chapter 1 when I was a new believer, when I had first become Christian. And I know that if your listeners out there were on the previous segments that I was on, I was once a homeless methamphetamine addict. And one of the things that the Lord led me to do was to memorize a lot of scripture. And Matthew chapter 1 was one of the first chapters that the Lord put on my heart to memorize and pray. So memorizing is actually the smallest part of when you have a tool like Matthew chapter 1. You meditate on it, you think God's thoughts, you learn of him and you understand him. And Christmas time especially is one of those seasons that God always brings Matthew chapter 1 back to me. Matthew chapter 1, the Song of Mary, Hannah's Prayer, and Isaiah 60, 61, and 62 are chapters that I have memorized in the past and I have prayed for many years in the Christmas season. But Matthew chapter 1 especially, because it is so rich with the Christmas story and with the identity that we have as Christians of who we are in Jesus Christ. Now, I love this chapter for many different reasons. There's so many layers to it. But it wasn't until I had been praying it for several months that God really revealed to me what it meant in my heart and the revelation that I needed at the time. Because as a homeless addict, and I don't know if there's listeners out there that have felt this like the way I felt it, I felt very alone. And I felt that I had been abandoned, and I had been essentially by my family at that time. And this revelation that God gave to me out of Matthew chapter 1 was so large and so big that I haven't been able to not share it. I, in fact, teach on it in churches all across Washington State. Because the revelation that he gave me wasn't just all that the names are hard to memorize. The revelation that he gave me after memorizing all of those names and meditating on that chapter for many, many months was that I wasn't just learning those names. Those people were my family, and that he had made me his family through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you are out there listening right now and you know Jesus, you too are a part of that family. And Matthew chapter 1 is so rich in the testimony of that. It means that your grandmothers are Sarah, Rahab, Ruth, and Mary. Jesus is your DNA, and you are part of the most incredible family and ministry that the world has ever known. So you don't have to worry about your lineage. You don't have to worry about your genealogy. You don't have to worry about where you came from. You know that you belong to Jesus. And those names in that chapter aren't just names to us. They are the line that leads to our Savior, Jesus. And so that's the revelation of the Christmas story. And so, I mean, there's so many facets to the Christmas story, but for me, that was incredibly powerful because it helped me know that I wasn't alone and that Jesus was not just intimately related to me, he was literally my family.
Mm. Well, we're coming up on a break, Pastor Kelly, and we're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Pastor Kelly Payne, a kingdom servant of the Lord, as she's sharing insights about Matthew chapter 1, not just for the Christmas season, but for life period and other passages. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Music of Amy Grant with Breath of Heaven. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Kelly Payne. She's a kingdom servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she's been sharing about her journey in the Lord. Pastor Kelly, as we begin this segment, would you take time now to pray for our listeners that the Lord would help them to have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
Yes. So, Lord, we know that you are the one that gives the gift of hearing. You allow us to hear your voice, and you guide us with your wisdom. And so we pray today that the listeners out there that are tuning in would tune into your spirit, not necessarily to our words, but to your words, and would hear what you have for them in today's broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Father, too, thank you, and I praise you for the again, just for your Holy Spirit, who is the breath of heaven. He's the hand of God. He's the river of God, the power of God, and so much more. Thank you for the opportunity for us to live a life cooperating with him. Father, Lord, anoint all of us afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to know, Lord, that you call every one of us to be servant-minded, that even in the midst of our unique challenges and difficulties, that there's much work to be done in loving a world that needs to be loved. And help us to know, Lord, that you're calling all of us to a life of ministry and compassion to a world that needs to be touched by your love. Help us to have a yes, Lord, attitude, whatever that is that you're calling us to. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Well, Pastor Kelly, you know, as you continue your story, you know, again, there's so many different sides to just the unique story that you've shared with us before, especially as it relates to your unique and challenging adoption journey. Would you share with us why Matthew 1 has especially been meaningful to you in view of the adoption journey the Lord had you on?
Certainly. So I was adopted, and unfortunately, the family that I was adopted into didn't view that necessarily as a blessing. I know that that's not the story for many adoptees out there, and I certainly am a big advocate of adoption. But in my personal story, was a very difficult family situation. And my birth family, my birth mother, I met her as an adult living in Washington, D.C. I actually moved to Washington State so I could be near her and develop a relationship with her. But unfortunately, she decided that she did not want a relationship with me, and it wasn't a happy coincidence that I stayed in Washington for her. She just died last year, and unfortunately, to her dying breath, didn't said that I actually ruined her life. So I don't have a very happy story when it comes to that portion of my life, but through those experiences, even in the unfortunate experience of getting so depressed and despondent during that time period that I turned to drugs, I became Christian. And so the revelation of who my family is in Christ was a huge blessing to me, because I didn't have to wonder anymore. I didn't have to long for things that I felt like I didn't have. I had all of those things in the family I had in Jesus. And that spirit of adoption, I think, is not just a blessing in the body of Christ. It's something we're supposed to bestow upon others. Like, I'm a big believer in adoption of children, but also I'm a big believer of adopting people that are sitting in church pews, single mothers that are sitting there with children that need a little bit of assistance, that need a family member to reach out to them, or somebody who was in a circumstance like mine, a homeless person who wanders into your church that needs to be adopted by a family and loved like a family would love them. That spirit of adoption is a powerful weapon against evil, because that spirit of adoption draws people to the cross of Christ and allows them to see the work of the blood of Jesus and his love working out in their lives. So I'm a big believer in that we as Christians need to reach out to others sitting maybe in church, maybe at work, maybe you encounter somebody on the streets, maybe through your ministry, but we're family. If you know Jesus, we're family. I was homeless, not because I physically didn't have a home when I was walking the streets. I was homeless at that time because I didn't know Jesus. Mm-hmm. And people who don't know Jesus may not recognize their homelessness just yet, but they truly are homeless until they know Jesus. We, as a family of Christ, get to extend that family to them and share with them all of his goodness. And all of that can be found in Matthew chapter 1. You know, it always strikes me in Matthew chapter 1 that even Joseph had to be reminded who his family is. In Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, the 20th verse, the angel says to him, "Joseph, son of David." Joseph had to be reminded that his family was the lineage that led to the Messiah. And in that reminder, Joseph was roused from sleep, like he was slumbering, right? He was asleep when the angel was speaking to him. But mm-hmm. when he woke up, he did all that the Lord commanded him. And all of that can be found in Matthew chapter 1. And all of that is part of that spirit of adoption that you can find in Matthew chapter 1.
Mm. You know, there's just so many things that you're touching on that I think are helpful truths for believers to be mindful of. And, you know, Kelly, one of the reasons why it's so good for us as believers to be committed to being passionate about reading and studying God's Word is that obviously when we read, we see the basic story that's before us. But at the same time, when you continue to read and meditate on God's Word, you keep digging, and there's more treasure, insight, and wisdom to be found as you keep digging and keep digging and keep digging. And I think of this during this season, and I'm going to ask you to share your thoughts on this as well, but you touched on this, that adopting people, you know, Jesus himself told us, I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And of course, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's with every one of us as believers. But the fact is, in our humanness, most everyone at some time or another will struggle with loneliness or sometimes feeling just out there by yourself and helpless for different reasons. I think of this as it relates to in local pregnancy clinics, for example. This time of year coming up to Christmas, one of the longings of mothers so many times is they want to be a big blessing to their children. And of course, and you know, often we think of that materially, but of course, spiritually is more important than the material side of it. But just yesterday, and again, I'm going to ask you both, Pastor Kelly, if you'll share your thoughts as well as pray about this as well. But a young mom contacted our pregnancy ministry, and her story was literally her lights were out. She had no heat, and she was just her and five little children. The oldest was 7. The youngest one was less than a year old, and she was crying. Her lights were out. She didn't have a way to get them back on, and she just simply wanted them back on. Well, by the grace of God, we were able to help her to get her lights back on, and she was just so happy. And She hadn't been in church in a while. She wanted, where's your church? I want to get back in church. Well, the fact is, she just needed to be loved by Jesus. And the fact is, every believer is a vessel and a means whereby the Holy Spirit can reach through us and love people, both sharing the gospel, but helping to meet immediate needs. And moms, so many times, with young children, single moms, who often are the clients in pregnancy clinics, are dealing with those kinds of needs. So would you share your thoughts, as well as I'm going to ask you to pray for the pregnancy ministries during this season of the year coming up to Christmas?
Absolutely. One of the biggest revelations I had about knowing that I was a part of this wonderful family of Christ was that in this family, we don't just believe in the pro-life movement. We are the life movement. Mm-hmm. We are every part of what life is because of the Holy Spirit that has filled us up and gives us the power to witness the cross. And we're called, like Christian soldiers, to stand against every form of death, whether it's from abortion to suicide to euthanasia to hate-filled violence, to standing against those who would harm the innocent or the marginalized or the unloved or the unwanted. And we can do that in very powerful ways that may seem simple, but they're incredibly powerful, just like what you did with that young mother. You paid a light bill. That seems very simple to me, but look at the love of Jesus that you demonstrated to that young mother and think about how that love will one day go to that child. She attends your church or she comes to visit and you extend that love even more. You've just impacted generations. And we can do that as Christians as we extend that love to others, whether it's a young mother or maybe somebody new to your church or maybe somebody at work that you know that is in a difficult circumstance where you get to share that spirit of adoption. And I think that's why I love Matthew chapter 1 so much, is because it is such a powerful reminder of that love that Jesus has given us isn't just for us, it's for us to share with others. The more we share with others, the more love we have, and the more we're able to share that with the world. And so, Pastor Joseph, would you mind if I prayed for the listeners?
Please do. Please do.
So if you're out there right now and you are maybe during the Christmas season feeling like you're not loved, or maybe you're unwanted, or maybe you're even just a little bit lonely, think about this. Think about what you can do to share the love of Christ, and I guarantee you it will instantly cure your loneliness. So Lord, I just pray for those listeners that are out there that feel and know that you are true. I pray that you would encourage them and empower them to share your love with as many as they can during this Christmas season, whether that's in a hand, whether that's a prayer, whether that's paying a light bill, whether that's holding or cuddling a baby of a single mom, whatever that looks like, Lord, I pray that you would put it upon their heart and empower them and equip them to be your hands during this Christmas season. And that, Lord, would be the cure for loneliness, not just for them, but for the others that they extend that love to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And Pastor Kelly, would you take time also to pray specifically for the work and the outreach of pregnancy ministries during the Christmas season as well, and for churches to come alongside and be supportive of them as well as pray for them?
Yeah, I do want to pray for the pro-life ministry because that is the business of the church, and it has been since the midwives saved the children of Israel. It has been since the parents of Moses hid their newborn for 3 months. It has been since the early Christians saved the babies abandoned by the city walls. We are the pro-life movement. And so, Lord, I just pray for your listeners out there and those that heed your word and the voice of your word, that they would once again be encouraged that they are the pro-life ministry, that we are called to do this work, that we are called to rescue babies, that we are called to offer money and charity and mercy and refuge to women and men that are encountering an unplanned pregnancy. And we are also called to stand against a culture that would encourage them to throw those children away. The Lord, infuse us, encourage us, give us the words to pray and say to those that need you so desperately, and show us how we can share your love with those that need it, especially those that are experiencing something like a pregnancy that they don't yet realize that they want in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Our phone guest today is Pastor Kelly Payne. We'll be right back. Music of Michael W. Smith with Christmas Time. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest is Pastor Kelly Payne, a kingdom servant of the Lord that serves the Lord in many different capacities. Pastor Kelly, you were wanting to touch on some issues related to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah as well. Would you dive right in and share about that?
Sure. So we've been talking about family, and I just want to say before we dive into Isaiah 60 that in the long tradition of the church, it's our family, the church family, that has sacrificed homes and money and property so that we could teach and offer protection and care for the unwanted and the unloved. And I know that very intimately because, as I shared earlier, I was once one of those. I was one of the unwanted and the unloved. I was a homeless addict at one time. And It was our life-loving God that sent someone from our family, from the church, who spoke to me. It was an incredible Christian woman through that spirit of adoption that reached out to me with no judgment, only love. And when I shared with her my story of how I had gone into drugs and during that time period, I had hit my only child, my daughter, who for the past 20 years has not spoken to me since that time period. But I shared with her what I had done, and she shared with me that she'd had an abortion and that the same blood of Jesus that healed her also healed me. And that leads me to Isaiah 60 and why that chapter is also a wonderful Christmas chapter for me, because, you know, I know I'm not alone in the heartbreak of having a child that doesn't speak to you. I'm sure that there might be even be some listeners right now that have had that difficulty, even if they did all the right things, even if they were great Christian parents, which I wasn't when I was raising my daughter at that time. And you may long for other family members to know Jesus Christ. I know that I've prayed for many, many family members. And one of the things when I was memorizing Isaiah 60 and one of the incredible revelations that God gave to me after many months of praying that chapter over and over again was from Isaiah 60, the sixth verse, starting in the sixth verse, where it says, "The multitude of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and all those of Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense and proclaim the praises of the Lord." God kept bringing those chapters, those verses to me as I was meditating on Isaiah 60. And it took some digging and some learning to find out why. And he shared with me, he took me back all the way to Genesis and the story of Keturah. And Keturah, if you recall, in Genesis was Abraham's second wife, and she had five sons. And Abraham had to send them to the east in order to protect the inheritance of Isaiah. And I always thought that was kind of sad because she never got to be around her children or her grandchildren. And I always thought, well, she must have wondered what happened to them and maybe even wondered if God had forgotten. But you see in Isaiah 60 that God never forgets. Because you see in Isaiah 60, Midian, Ephah, and Sheba, these are the sons of Keturah. Coming back to Jesus, the moment he arrives on earth, God is calling them to come to the feet of his son, Jesus Christ. And that prophecy that God gave Abraham that his descendants would be more numerous than the star, well, it was a star that led the wise men from the east to Jesus. It says in scripture that the star which they had seen in the east before them stood over where the young child was. And they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And Isaiah 60 says they proclaimed the praises of the Lord. And why that's so meaningful to me is because in my family story, although parts of it can appear tragic, there has been great miraculous events, including the father who adopted me, who I had been estranged from, prayed the prayer of salvation with me. The moment we reconciled, he wanted to know about Jesus, and he just went to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But before that, he began going to church. He knew Jesus, and also my birth grandmother. Although my mother rejected me, my birth grandmother did not. And on her 88th birthday, 1 year before she died, she prayed the prayer of salvation with me. And I was overjoyed to lead her to the Lord and share with her how wonderful Jesus is. None of that would have happened except for that spirit of adoption. In Isaiah 60, you can see God never forgot Keturah's sons. Mm-hmm. You see Ishmael's sons and Kedar and Nebaioth also in Isaiah 60 noted there in the chapter. And I just want to encourage your listeners that God hasn't forgotten your family either. Mm-hmm. Whoever you're praying for, whether it's a son or a daughter or a grandchild or a father or a mother, God never forgets. He's not like men. Men forget. God does not forget, and he has not forgotten your family, especially in this Christmas season. I just want to remind people that he's at work in hidden ways that you may not see, but he is always at work, loving and drawing your family As you pray, you labor with him. And as you labor with him, he works salvation out in those family members that you're praying for.
Praise God. Praise God. Would you pray for those persons that they would persevere and continue to trust God and stand in faith for unsaved loved ones and persons that might be estranged, knowing that God is at work behind the scenes, whether it appears that he is or not, he's always at work. Would you pray for that?
Amen. Lord, I want to pray the first few lines of Isaiah 60. I love Isaiah 60, Lord, and I thank you for this word. I thank you for the richness of this word. It's better than food. It's better than anything in the world. Your word is so good. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed by your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart will swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah and all those of Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense and proclaim the praises of the Lord. Lord, I declare this over every listener out there praying for a family member or a friend, trusting in you for their salvation. Their light has come, and your glory and your light will draw them to the salvation of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you're at work in their life. I pray that you would encourage those listeners to pray and pray more than they have ever prayed before for those family members, that they are longing to know you, that those people that are out there fighting the good fight, that you would intercede on their behalf and draw those people that they love so much to your cross. Lord, the multitude of camels always represent reconciliation, and they represent resources. So I pray that spirit of reconciliation would come upon those listeners that are out there right now, that even now maybe you would come up with ways that they could reach out or be reconciled to those family members that they need to be reconciled to, and that they would learn to trust you in even deeper ways, that no matter what it looks like on the surface, you are hard at work to bring those loved ones to your cross. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I do thank you for your church, and thank you for the privilege we have of being your hands and feet in a world that desperately needs to be touched by your love, your mercy, and your compassion. Lord, help us during this Christmas season to be faithfully listening to your heart and your spirit, and looking for ways to bless, to get behind and work with pregnancy ministers as they minister to single mothers, but also many other ministers out there that are on the front lines of helping people, helping homeless people that may be out in the cold, who literally need a warm place to rest and to lay their head, clothing, and places that are helping people that are literally hungry in our culture and across the world. Lord, help us to always be looking for ways to be a blessing and show your love, show the world what your love looks like in day-to-day living. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much again, Pastor Kelly, for being with us today. We appreciate it, and please continue to be God's faithful vessel where he's called you to be as well. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And we want to say, want to encourage our listeners, pray for Pastor Kelly. She continues to be God's vessel in working in government, as well as being a vessel of compassion, reaching out to people in need in her communities as well. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior and receiving him as Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step and give your life to the Lord, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, Thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In the Word of God, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live my life fully for you. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to follow you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. And of course, on an ongoing basis, if you wish to get any of the prayer tools or discipleship articles or tools that we share about, we're glad to share those with you. Please feel free to email us at same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get those to you. Thanks for listening. Thanks, as always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Be blessed.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.